Welcome to this very special edition of Victory News Tonight. I'm Gene Bailey, along with Greg Stevens, and of course our founder, Brother Kenneth Copeland. Thank
Praise
you, sir,
God,
for being
Gene.
Here. Listen, we're going to get started tonight, and there's no surprise here that the name of this channel is Victory. Yeah. And that is what you're going to hear tonight.
Yes.
Is a victorious message about dealing as we stand with against the coronavirus. So let's just pray and get right into the message tonight.
Yes.
With Brother Copeland. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just submit this time with you. Lord, everything that's said, Holy Spirit, guide us. Father, I thank you that you are the healer. You have already paid the price, and we stand in a right standing place because of the covenant that has already been cut for us. And Father, we thank you for this evening.
Thank you.
As we get together here and hear your word, and we just commit it to you. In Jesus' name,
thank you.
Amen. All right, well, as you know, we've heard a lot, especially today, about this coronavirus. In fact, the World Health Organization has called it a pandemic now, which really began to strike fear in a lot of people.
Sure.
We started seeing, even here in Texas, a lot of places shut down. Colleges extend their spring break, going to an instruction on video. And it's really been, Greg, quite a surprise to see the reaction that has been so aggressive in panic.
It is. Well, when they label it something like that, you know, their natural minds take over. And then everything is a germ, and everything is
right.
Is that. And that's why we're here tonight.
Yeah, we're going to take care of
See
it.
See what the Word says about it.
That's right. All right, well, let's give it right over to Brother Copeland. Take us away here.
Thank you, Gene. There's one I want to show you something. Now, this is on the back of a Clorox cleaning solution.
Right.
Look at that. Human coronavirus influenza A2. Hey guys, this thing's been around a long time. It's a very weak strain of flu.
Mm.
It is so weak that the symptoms are so light that some people didn't even know it.
Wow.
They just haven't found the way to knock that thing in the head yet. Now, glory to God. The Israelis. Now, number one, we've all heard what they're saying about, you know, the mask only protects other
right.
people from you.
Right.
Not the Israeli mask.
Mm.
It'll kill the virus.
Yeah.
It'll kill every virus
That's
that comes
awesome.
Through the mask because they have woven a very natural ingredient that kills all viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So it protects you.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
And Greg, what was it? I mean, they announced just in the last few hours that they'll have a vaccine for this thing in what was it, the next few weeks?
I've got it right here. It was an adaptation of the avian coronavirus, which was birds, and they're now making it for humans. And it says right here, they will have, our goal is to produce the vaccine in the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Glory be to God.
There'll be a vaccine for this.
Now, isn't this marvelous? So, hey, come on. The only thing that we need to be dealing with is fear. Amen. Now, I want you to open your Bibles right now to 2 Timothy 1:7. And you already know what that says. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So, fear is a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and that spirit is the devil, and he is the spirit of death. You listen to me? When Jairus was following Jesus, especially in Luke's account of this. Now, become an actor for a few moments.
Okay.
And you're playing the part of Jesus. Don't just casually say, fear not. Years ago, I heard the Lord say it like this. He whirled around. The moment the death messenger came, the moment, how did he deal with death? What did he do? He immediately turned and said, stop the fear. Stop it right now. Believe. And she will be made whole. You stop that fear right now.
Wow.
He could have said, we need to fast and pray. No, no. He could have said, don't sweat this. I'm going. If he kept being afraid, wouldn't have been anything Jesus could have done about it. Stop that fear. Believe she will be made whole. Now you stop that fear. Cut it out right now. The spirit of fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power.
That's right. Love.
Love, who is God, and a sound mind. Isn't that good?
That's so good.
Now, go to Job chapter 3. Now, all of us, particularly those of us that live and study the Bible all the time, we know exactly what Job's problem was. But look what he said in verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. How plain does it need to be?
That's right.
Now, fear. Well, let's go to, I'll tell you what let's do. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 14. Fear is not okay. It is not okay. Romans 14:23. For and he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay. Any word from Jesus, I don't know how you feel about this, but I know how you two guys feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what Jesus says, it's a commandment to me.
Yeah.
That's it's right. Not all right. I mean, if he says don't fear, I'm not going to do it.
Yes, sir.
I may be standing there with my goosebumps running up and down, my knees knocking together. I, by God, refuse to do it. And I said that correctly. By
God.
God, I refuse to do it.
Right.
Amen.
So we attract it, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. Fear is faith.
Now, wait a minute. Fear is faith.
What was the first thing Adam did when he sinned?
Went and hid himself.
He hid.
Mm. Afraid.
He was afraid of God.
Yeah.
His faith immediately turned to fear.
Wow.
Now think about this. I think in like a pilot, I mean, I've been flying almost 60 years now. And, you know, a compass means a lot to me. And you think about that compass. Every law of God has a reciprocal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, if I'm heading south, I'm on a track of north.
Yes.
All I got to do is turn around. I don't have to go either way. I'm just turn around and I'm going north.
That's right.
I didn't have to go right or left, up or down, sideways. Turn around, I'm going north.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking in faith, turn around, you're in fear.
So is it really that simple, Brother Copeland? It's just a decision?
Yeah.
Even if I don't feel it?
Feeling has zero to do with it.
That's right.
Zero to do with it. Now, before you were born again, there was a fountain of fear on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But now, after you got born again, became a new creature, what happened? Old things passed away, and all things became new, and all things are of God. Fear is not of God.
Yeah.
Faith is of God. So, fear, look at it like this. I love it. Fear. Well, let's take a a dangerous, say a snake, a dangerous snake. Okay. Fear of that snake is faith in that snake's ability to harm or kill you. Mm-hmm. I believe he's got that kind of power. I believe he has that. I believe it. Mm-hmm. I don't just know it, I believe it.
All right.
So fear is faith in him. It's a spiritual force. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil, the lies of Satan. All worry is fear-based. All anxiety is fear-based. All depression is fear-based. Hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So, fear of this virus, quit, forget about corona. It's another form of the flu. I've been around a long time. And when I was in the Army, 1957, 1958, the first one of those things from Asia hit. It was called the Hong Kong flu. Nobody ever heard of it before. And man, I'm telling you, I was stationed in Fort Gordon, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And it hit with a vengeance. Now, I was the hospital there, because, of course, it was built in World War II. It's huge. That's head of Third Army. It's just huge. And, but of course, nowhere near, they just had a little dispensary open. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd gone to the dispensary over something else. But anyway, there wasn't anything wrong with me. I was gold bricking more than anything else. But anyway, I won't get into that. But that was Kenneth B.C., you understand?
Understand.
Anyway, I was already there. And man, the colonel was the head of that hospital, came in there. And overnight, when that thing hit, we had something like 35, 40 patients in the dispensary part of that thing. The next morning, we had 500.
Wow.
No,
wow.
The wards not open. Man, they jerked all of us up in there, and we were mopping and sweeping and whitewashing walls and cleaning and you know, everything we could to clean this place up. They didn't even know what it was. One of those soldiers died out there in the hall waiting to get in inside. That was the Hong Kong flu. Hmm. Now, then it mutated and it started turning into other stuff. Hong Kong flu, bird flu, swine flu, chicken flu. I'm not taking the flu off of a hog. Come on. So, here we've got another strain of it. So we need to, and the thing of it is, healthy people, from what I'm understanding, are not dying from this.
Right.
It's elderly people that are already sick.
Immune compromised.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So anyway, but what we need to do is deal with fear, because this doesn't just deal with this. I mean, this is any kind of sickness, disease.
Right.
You can talk, you can be afraid of something and just bring it to yourself. Like what we were talking about. Now, 1 John chapter 2. Now, let me repeat myself again. 16. Fear is sin. You get that? It's not okay. In fact, fear not, write this down, fear not occurs 95 times in the Bible. I'm talking about just that phrase. Mm. There's all kinds of other forms of it. That's a command. Fear not occurs 95 times in the Bible, 72 times in the Old Testament, and 23 times in the New. It is not okay. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now then, thank you, Jesus. Father, what did I say? 1 John.
1 John 2.
Let's go 1 John 2, 5. 1 John 2, 5 shows us something here. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, this gets down in. Now, who wrote this, guys? First Apostle of Love.
Apostle of Love, yeah.
Outlived all the rest of them.
Sure.
They tried to kill him and
couldn't do it.
Yeah. That's right.
The only one they couldn't kill.
Right.
He finally just died.
Yeah.
They tried. Boiled him.
Boiled him alive. Stuck him on an island.
They thought they threw him away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got out there and wrote the book of Revelation.
Hallelujah.
So I love him.
Hallelujah.
I love that book.
Yes, sir.
I read it. We win.
Yes, sir.
Now, look at this now in the fourth chapter. Let's begin reading here with the 15th verse. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, let's back up here a second. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love, love dwells in him and he in love.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Second chapter, fifth verse. Hold your place there. We're going back to that. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
Yes.
Or matured. Mm. Matured. Right. It's developing. It's growing. It's happening all the time. You're walking in the word. You're walking in love, keeping that commandment, and you refuse to fear anything. God, demons, I misspoke when I said God. You don't fear man, you don't fear beast, and you sure don't fear the devil.
Yeah.
But my fear of God is a reverent, resting fear in him. Sure, I'm afraid of him, but I'm not frightened of him.
Yeah.
That fear is such a glorious,
respect.
It's an awesome respect. But he's my father.
No.
And he's my covenant friend.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is my blood brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Fear just has to take a hike, brother. Now, hang on to that perfected love. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love, love dwells in him and he in love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love matured. Here, you're walking in it. And it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. I love whether I feel like it or not. It has absolutely nothing to do with feelings. I made up my mind. There are two Greek words. One of them is agape. That is the will, mind made up to love. Filio is feelings. But agape is God's love. He loves you whatever you do. He may not condone it, but he loves you.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do to make him not love you.
Yes.
Nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. Amen. He is love.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, herein... Again, here is in our love. Our love is perfected and matured that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but mature love casteth out fear because. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why God doesn't want you having any of that, Greg. It's full of torment.
That's right.
Now think about this. Who is the tormentor?
Devil.
The devil.
Yeah.
Fear of torments. There are people out there right now so tormented, they're buying up everything in sight. Borrowing money to buy toilet paper. I mean, come on, man.
That's right.
There's something wrong with this team.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know what toilet paper has to do with this virus. What? But they're buying it.
But they're clearing out. That's right.
Good chance to get 16 cases of toilet paper, I guess. I don't know. But you do stupid things when you're being moved.
Yes.
You make ignoramus decisions. And you're asking for the virus.
Because you've got faith.
You're asking for it.
Because you're attracting it.
Yeah. You've got faith in it.
Faith in it.
Wow.
Fear is a magnet to sickness and disease. So, because fear hath torment, he that fears is not made perfect in love. Torment. The tormentor. Now look. The torment is in the fear. It doesn't cause torment. It is in it. Look at it like this. I refuse to be tormented about anything. But somebody that's tormented by this thing, I just, oh God. I just know I'm going to get this. I just know I'm going to get laid off at work. I know, oh, my mama lives over there and she's old and she's going to get it. She's going to get it. She's going to die. I'm tormented. It's like over here, you have this slick Teflon jug. Mm-hmm. And the devil just, ain't no handles on it. Mm. There's no fear there.
Right.
But the moment you begin to fear, you just put a handle on the side of it, and he just reaches over there and gets it. Boy, he'll go to work on you. He'll rip it to you. I don't care if it's over a virus, over losing your job, or over, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. My goodness, this whole thing's going to affect the business. We're not going to get anything from China, and I'm not going to be able to say, oh God, I'm going to lose my car. Mm. Yeah, you probably will. And I'll tell you, your car's in danger. It may not be in danger from this, but you're in a good position to wreck it right now.
That's right.
Hmm. I had the Lord show me this one time. We were taking the Citation 10 into what was considered a dangerous area. And I'm praying about this thing. Well, Lord, should we not take it in there? He said, let me tell you something. He said, if you're afraid and you take somebody else's airplane or you ride the airlines, what's to keep the hangar from falling in on your airplane somewhere? You've set that airplane up to be destroyed. You've given the devil a handle, a pathway to it.
Yeah.
See what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You're giving the devil a pathway to your body. Mm. It may take until the next flu season for the old kind of flu to kill you.
There are pastors that are afraid people won't come to their services now because of this, that they won't want to be around other people, that they're not coming to church or offerings are going to go down. And that's fear.
Yeah, well, we've got pastors that are already saying, don't come to church. We'll just do it over video.
I want you in my church.
Right.
If we have to pass out thermometers.
Right.
If we find one with a fever, let's get him healed right there.
Yeah.
What? Hey, guys. Now, think about this a minute. Be thinking about yourself, particularly those of you who live and walk by faith. What if you do get it? Big deal. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I had the first time in a long time at the minister's conference. Flu got a hold of me.
Yeah, I remember.
Man, 2 days. All the symptoms. all that lasted 2 whole days. Never did mount anything. I don't think I ever had any fever. Mm. If I did, it didn't mount anything. Mm. Now, last year, all the symptoms of it came on me. Mm. And I'm right same time, minister's conference, you know.
Right.
And people load up on sugar and all of that, and then it knocks your immune system. And of course, I don't want to eat that sugar. But I'm just sitting there on that front row, and all the symptoms came. I started chilling. I just started smiling. And Brother Jerry was preaching, and I just started smiling. Mm. You can't put that on me. No, and I was sitting there chilling all over, and the more I chilled, the bigger my smile got. Mm. And I just sat there and thank you very much, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. About 15 minutes, it's gone.
Mm. You resisted it.
So, yeah. Brother Colby, this is, you know, you're reminding me of John G. Lake, and you know he had that plague
in his hand. I thought
about that
this afternoon.
Yeah. So is it that he, and that plague, if I remember right, had actually taken some, he'd lost some of his family in that thing.
That thing was horrible.
And so he had, from the world's point of view, he had a reason to fear that he had firsthand understanding of that.
So many people were dying. The British government offered, and this, man, this is back when $1,000 was
right, a lot of money.
This is like $100,000, I mean, for anybody, anybody that would come help them. Nobody would take it. But Lake and his team did, and none of them got sick.
That's right.
And so the doctors and the scientists said, why? Why is it? They died with a bubonic plague.
Right.
They were dying with that convulsion and that froth. And of course, Lake was a scientist also.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said, okay, take a specimen of that froth, put it under your microscope. They did, just teeming, teeming with that virus, just teeming with it. He said, okay, take a sample of it, put it in my hand.
Right.
Now he said, put that on the microscope. And the virus was dead.
Mm.
And he said, now that's just simply the healing anointing of God, and every believer has it. They shall lay hands on the sick.
Every believer has that. That's where the church has missed it, because they think it's only to a few.
Every believer
has it. Now, you have a testimony of Kelly, your daughter Kelly, coming against fear.
Oh.
With your granddaughter.
Yeah. With the most horrible virus
right.
there is. Little Lindsay, when she was 11,
yeah.
woke up. Then it wasn't matter with her. She was delirious. Christmas morning, she was 11 years old.
Mm.
And diagnosed her with Neisseria meningitis. And they took that, took her spinal fluid. That infectious disease doctor said, oh, he said, this is awful. Mm. And he let Kelly know. He said, I don't think she'll make it through the night. Mm. And she said, Daddy, that thing came down on me like a black shroud.
Wow. That's what's happening in America, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she walked right over to Terry, her older sister. She said, she looked in Terry's eyes and she said, I refuse to fear her.
Yeah, that's right.
And she said, Daddy, that thing just lifted and just like a bird flying out of the room. She said, it was dark and heavy. She said, it just went away. Well, we got in there about 11 o'clock that night. And of course, we had the hazmat suits on and everything, Gloria and I did. And we got in right on each side of Lindsay's bed.
Highly contagious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this will kill you. It killed children. Yeah. Right here in Fort Worth is where it happened. It's terrible. And the Lord had said to me what to do, and I walked up there to the bed and touched her right here. And I said, Lindsay, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the anointing on the inside of you.
Mm.
Rise up and put this disease out. She gritted her teeth and shouted, Papa, I'm healed in the name of Jesus.
Oh, man.
They kept her 8 days for observation, sent her home.
Glory to God.
And she's still going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Amen. It affected her hearing. So she started right then. She and Kelly, we all talked it over, but most particularly between Kelly and Lindsay. And talking about faith, now you can accept this. They want to get her hearing aids. And you can do that. And she said, there's nothing wrong with that. No, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. So somebody would call her and she'd go to, she'd put it up over there on that ear. And couldn't hear it.
Mm.
But she did it anyway. Mm. And she just kept doing it anyway. And she just kept doing it anyway. And she just kept doing it anyway. And just kept confessing it and confessing it and confessing it. And all at once, pow! Her hearing is perfect.
Mm.
Because perfect love cast out fear.
Cast it out fear. Now then, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Your faith will get feeble. under a barrage of fear.
How do we tolerate it? Is it worry? A good Christian person? My grandmother was a worrier.
And talking it. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? How are they going to get rid of this thing? And you don't have to be doing this. I mean, just talk it all the time. Just talk the power of this thing all the time. Tolerating it. That's fear-based. Worry is fear-based. Coronavirus is a curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28:22. We'll close with this right now. Under the curse of the law, 28th chapter, verse 22, the Lord shall smite, or you shall be smitten with a consumption, with a fever, and an inflammation.
There you go.
There it is right there. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
I'm asking you, if you'd like, to join us in communion right now. And just, you don't have to do this, but just for the benefit of those that would like to know, I take communion every day.
Me too.
And I sit there at my study desk, and I don't use these little guys. I use some real unleavened bread and a little cup. I don't use real wine. Remember the worldwide communion service?
I do.
We took communion all over the world. Welch's Grape Juice designed these little guys for us.
That's right.
So we could have communion all over the world.
We're doing it tonight.
Isn't that amazing? Yes, we are.
Amen.
Now here we are at this glorious moment. Oh, dear Jesus. Greg, being a student of the Hebrew language and Jewish customs, and teaches Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and I'm over there preaching covenant, and he's over there reading in Hebrew. And, you know, and I'll say, because then he'd say, yeah, that's right. And I'll say, okay, yeah, you read it. We have a healing covenant.
Yes, we do.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17 chapters of John were all at that supper, the covenant supper. This linen cloth.
Yes.
Folded. The unleavened bread here, then the next fold here, and the next fold here. And it had been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the thing you did, you take that out, put it back. Take that one out, put it back. Take that one out, put it back. You come in and get this center one. And I had a rabbi friend of mine tell me, he said, we couldn't figure out why we broke Jacob.
Isaac.
Isaac. He said, I couldn't figure out why we broke Isaac. What did he do? But then it became the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He went through all of that. Then he picked up that center one. Oh, Jesus. And he said, this is my body broken.
Yes.
For you. Eat it. He'd already said, if you don't eat my flesh,
drink my blood.
And drink my blood. Oh, man, they walked off. They didn't know, what is he talking about? Man, he's talking covenant. He's talking this blood covenant.
Yes, sir.
In his blood.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't said it then, it wouldn't come to pass later. Every word he's saying, every word of it.
Fulfillment.
And then
Father, in the name of Jesus, you said this, and you broke it, and you blessed it. This sweet body, nobody like it ever. Oh God, and we eat of that body for the healing of our bodies. Oh Jesus, you sacrificed your body for ours, and we offer our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. But now, gentlemen, here's the key. He said, do this remembering me. He's not talking about just sit around and think about it. He's talking covenant. God remembered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then he did. God remembered Joseph. God remembered and did this. What's he remembering? He's remembering his oath. He's remembering his covenant. Mm. He's remembering it, and he's acting.
Right.
He remembers it, and he does hesed. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I receive the healing of my body, and I receive the protection of this body. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Then he picked up that cup. And see, it was only one cup. But he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And the first human covenant ever cut was between God and Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham.
Yes, he did.
There had been other other covenants and so forth in the blood of animals, but this is the first human blood ever shed in behalf of a covenant through circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Human blood. But think of this. This is the blood of God.
That's right.
The blood of Jehovah Rapha.
Mm.
The blood of my healer.
Amen.
My God, I love it. Anything wrong with you, if you've got any kind of fever, or even suspecting anything, just laugh at it. This is, think about it. Jesus was so beat and so marred, his face didn't look human. He didn't look like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
His blood was shed around his skull, his blood was shed on his back, and the blood on that back is what we got healed. There was blood in his feet. There was blood.
Hands. Sorry.
And the cut of the covenant was in his side. And that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, was speared to death. And blood flowed out of him because they pierced his physical heart. Blood and water. That heart sac popped. So you and I don't have viruses.
Yeah, that's right.
He became the coronavirus.
Oh, my.
He became the curse.
Yes.
He was made a curse for us. And that thing is a curse of the law. And we've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because he was made a curse for us.
Yeah.
And we receive it.
Yes.
He said, all of you, drink from it.
Liquid love.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I imagine it and I can see it and I
He said, all of you drink of it. He was speaking specifically for Judas' sake. Mm-hmm. Now, this is hidden from people that haven't done in-depth study of covenant like mm-hmm. we have. You find in the book of James, in the King James Version, that Abraham was the friend of God, and the friend is capitalized, because that translation was done back in the day when covenant was being cut in that part of the world.
Right.
A covenant friend is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
That's right.
Capitalized. And when he came up to him and he kissed him, Jesus called him friend.
My, my.
He didn't break the covenant. Judas did.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He didn't break it.
You know, I'm thinking about when they were in that room that night. He wraps a towel around himself and he washes them. Yeah. Peter complained about it. He goes, if I don't wash you, you have no part of me.
Yeah.
And he said, well, wash all of me. You know? Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking about that. He knelt in front of Judas Iscariot.
Yes,
that's love.
Did.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
He washed the feet of Judas, yes, knowing full well
what he was about to do.
What he was about to do. That's love.
Now, Judas did not have to do what he did. Jesus made two covenants with him. One of them is called the salt covenant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And this is a Middle Eastern practice. That if I, you would come into a man's home and he would offer you his plate and you would take your bread
and dip it,
sop it in his plate and eat it. And then he would yours.
And he did that.
And they were in covenant that night. And we'll discuss things and none of it will be a lie. We'll tell the truth about what we do. Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Friendship covenant.
Yeah.
And remember what it said? They ask him, who is it? It's the one that sopped
yeah.
in my place.
Glory.
Jesus gave him one opportunity after another. And what does the word say? He covenanted with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
he made a covenant.
Look at that.
To betray him with that other group. He stepped out of his covenant with Jesus. Walked away from that covenant meal and went straight. And entered into another covenant. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on him.
What he'd done.
What he had done. The blinders were taken off of him. Peter denied him.
Did right. the same thing, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But Peter didn't hang himself.
No.
He felt like it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, go tell the brethren and Peter.
Yes, he did.
But Judas, in his desperation, hung himself on some old broken down rotten tree, and the thing broke, and he fell a long ways. It was high enough that it burst him open when he hit the ground.
Well, Jesus even said to Peter, Satan is desired to sift you like wheat. I prayed for you.
Yeah,
it could have been either one of those guys. And that's something.
Yeah, it is.
And three times he denies him. And then when he sees him again on the lake shore of Sea of Galilee, three times he said, do you love me? Do you love me? So he restored him the same way.
He started out with agape.
Yes, sir.
And Peter wouldn't use it. Hmm. Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Peter said, "You know I filio you."
It's a different level of love.
Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" He said, "Lord, you know I filio you." Then Jesus said, "Peter, do you filio me?" So he came down to his level where he could agree with him.
Yes.
And when he did, he was back in.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's talk about the rich young ruler. Oh, no, not the rich young ruler, but the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Broke his family covenant. Left. And he spent everything that he had, wound up working for a pig farmer. Now, that's about as low as a Jew would get.
Yeah, that's right.
And he don't want to go home. This is hurting him, man. He left the family. Took all of his inheritance and left. He was a son gone. Now, listen to what the daddy said. I mean, the daddy fell on him and kissed his old nasty pig stinking neck. He made up his little speech, "I'm not worthy to be, I'll just be a servant. Yeah. And his daddy cut him off. Mm. He wasn't looking for servants, he's looking for a son.
That's right.
Gene, he killed the fatted calf.
The prize.
The covenant calf. Mm.
Yeah.
And had a party and covenanted that boy back into the family.
Praise God.
He entered a covenant with him to bring him back in.
Yeah.
Gave him his ring. That was a signet ring.
Yeah.
Daddy's a wealthy man. What is that? The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
With that.
Sign of the covenant.
That boy could buy anything his daddy could buy.
Oh, my.
He didn't just have his inheritance anymore. Now he owned everything his daddy had.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now the older son came in. He said, "You didn't even give me a goat." He didn't get it. Mm-mm. He knew what that calf was. And this is really bothering him. Now notice, nobody mentioned harlots but him.
Right.
Mm, that's right.
If he'd have gone, that's what he'd have done.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But now Jesus told that story, covenanting us into the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Wow.
In his blood. My God.
My goodness.
Paul teaches this concept. A lot of people in America don't understand this, but you would be born into a family. My sons, my boys, born into my family, and in that Middle Eastern, at a certain age, I will adopt my own sons, and so I adopt them. And what I do is I take their childhood clothing off, and I clothe them in the family, put the ring on them, and Jews have the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I adopt my own sons, and I get a full inheritance of everything. Now, they'd still be my sons if I didn't adopt them, but they don't have that full inheritance. So we have been grafted in. We've been adopted with full rights and privilege.
Oh, yeah, we have.
And he put on a new robe of righteousness
on us.
We have
firstborn status.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Robes of righteousness.
Now, the robe exchange in covenant comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the robe of the higher authority, that robe shows that authority. And he takes it off. In this case, it might have been a pauper that he found on the street, but he covenants him into his family and makes him his son. He puts that robe on him. And he walks down the street. Everybody knows who he is.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The Lord likened that to me like this. There's a difference between dad, daddy, mm-hmm. and father. General Smith goes down to the company area. He walks in there. The first sergeant in there calls everybody to attention. The general walks in. He turns around and looks at this boy and he says, "Sergeant Smith, you will be at my quarters at 1600 this evening. You understand that?" "Sir."
"Yes, sir."
"Yes, sir." He stands out there and he knocks on the general's door. On his, at his quarters, at attention. He opens the door. He walks in. "Boy, now how many times have I told you that you're supposed to be calling your mother at least twice a week? What's the matter with you?"
Yeah.
One of them's sergeant, the other's general.
Yeah.
He not daddy in that room over there. He's general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's father. He is my father. When I get inside, he's my daddy.
Yes, amen.
God is my daddy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, God has put his robe on us, and it is the robe of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
His righteousness.
Yes.
His armor.
Glory to God.
His word.
Yeah.
His power. His life.
Yeah.
And we stand joint heirs with the firstborn. We stand as joint heirs. We stand as brethren. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is our blood brother.
Praise God. Yes.
The spirit world sees that.
Yeah, they do.
So why would we loan our mouth to some virus?
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Don't know who you are.
Or shifted from spiritual thinking over to carnal thinking and just pick up everything the world's saying here. If you listen to that long enough, it'll get through to you. If you say something long enough that gets down in your heart, it'll control your life.
Mm-hmm.
Flat control it.
Yeah, that's right.
And something you were afraid of and you just kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, gets down in your spirit, then eventually it'll begin to control your life. And that's what's happened over the years with all this flu stuff.
Yeah.
And it has, there's a connection here. How are we doing on time? We are?
We got a little 6.5 minutes before the president.
They've convinced people to take a shot every year, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. One of the strongest immune boosters known to man is vitamin C.
Right.
I caught that flu working with that colonel.
Right.
In that hospital in Fort Gordon, Georgia.
Mm.
I was unconscious for 2 weeks.
Mm. Wow.
That's the last time.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I was preaching for Dad Sutton, Hilton Sutton's
right.
dad, down in Beaumont, Texas, back, right at the very beginning of this ministry. And that flu had hit. And it was a Hong Kong flu. And when that happened in Georgia, they weren't calling it that yet. But they were now in the 60s, whole football team sick with the flu.
Brother Hagin talked about it. Mm-hmm. It'd been places where they just, I mean, they're sick, man. Mm-hmm. They weren't thinking about being sick. They were sick. Mm-hmm. And I had another meeting before Brother Sutton's, and when I showed up, he said, Brother Kenneth, I couldn't guarantee you $50 if you stayed a month. I said, Brother Sutton, I never asked you to guarantee me anything. He said, yeah, I know it. But he said, man, he said, so much of my church is out with the flu. This horrible thing that's going around. I said, well, get your oil bottle and let's go to work. Mm-hmm. Which we're going to do in a little bit. And after the president speaks, we'll have a healing service. And
yeah, you know, before we, and we're going to, you're not going to miss a thing when the president comes out. We'll show that to you. You know, Brother Copeland, we want to make something available. First of all, there's a prayer line where we have trained counselors.
Yeah.
Ready for your call. You want somebody to agree with you in faith over what you're dealing with. That's what they're there for. So you can call them. They're ready. They're waiting. People on the phones. We just don't put anybody on the phones. We train them.
Yeah.
And that's why they're there. Now, we also want to make available to you this book, Brother Copeland did, Freedom from Fear. And a lot of the scriptures that he talked about tonight, they're in that book. And there's two ways you can get it. You can order the book, or you can, quicker is to get the download.
Yeah.
You can instantly download it, print it, share that with as many people as you want. It's all right. That's what we're here for, is to get the word into your life. And this will help you. And you know what you talked about, Brother Copeland, is diving into the word and keeping those right words in front of your face.
Man.
Keeping that faith words in front of your face.
We had T-shirts made, no fear here.
No fear here.
No fear here.
Well, there's the website address right there, govictory.com/coronavirus. And you can download it. And just please, no charge. It's absolutely free, this ministry. That's why we're there. And that's why we want to make that available to you. But don't forget to call those phone lines if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. And again, when the president comes out, we will be with him live just as soon as we see that he's there. Okay?
We began, this is going to take just 30 more seconds. Man, we went to the hospital. We went to their homes. We anointed them with oil. And every one of them, but one, got up out of that bed, I mean, sick with the Hong Kong flu.
Wow.
And got up out of that bed. Some of them just barely could stand. And in moments were dancing all over the room and shouting and every symptom gone.
Amen.
Yeah. This one guy said, no, sir, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say I've got something I can't see or feel. I'm not going to do it. He was sick for over 2 weeks and liked to died with it. Mm. I kept telling him, I said, man, the word says you already healed. All you got to do is act. I'm not going to do it. He wouldn't do it.
That goes today. I was watching the Congress. They had the top doctors in America. They're running this whole thing. They're watching this. He said this, congressmen were pressing him, and they were asking him how many people in America are going to die. He said, I can't give you a number. I can't give you a realistic number until we figure out how we are. Listen to this. It's totally dependent upon how we respond to it.
How we respond.
And that's what you're teaching the body of Christ tonight. Yeah. How we're going to respond to this.
Yeah, that decision.
I don't care about the rest of the world, but as for me and my house, we're going to respond.
Fear is very contagious. Faith is contagious.
Mm. That's right. That is right.
And the way this thing spreads, you just start believing God and calling your friends and sharing with them. And hey, this is what we're going to, it'll spread all over this country. We got partners all over this country. We got hundreds of thousands of them across this country. Then all you partners, just start calling people and telling them, don't be used to be afraid of this thing. Let's get together. Let's have a prayer session. Let's do some anointing with oil. Get your oil bottles and go to the hospital. Get involved.
Do your job. That's what he told you.
Do your job.
And you know, I don't know, do we have that photo of Vice President Pence having a prayer session? You can show that. There it is coming up on the screen here any second here. There's them getting together and praying.
In the White House.
In the White House.
Over this thing. That's what we need more of, not less of.
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
With your small group and your
church
group.
That's what you do. Now, I'll tell you something else. That's the reason you need to keep this president in here for another 4 years.
Yeah. Amen.
For that right there.
For that right there. That's the reason why.
Right there.
And on account of that man right there.
Yeah.
Because you give Donald Trump 4 more years, he'll be president at 8 years.
Yeah.
Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And he is the spiritual leader on this team.
That's right. I'm noticing the lady on the far right, she's got the ashes on her forehead. She's been to Catholic priest.
And yes, sir.
Put those ashes on her forehead.
Yes, sir.
And look at them, praying in the White House.
Right.
And we'll be joining the president just any minute here.
Praise God.
When he comes out, here's what he's going to say to the nation.
So do you think, Brother Copeland, while we're waiting here, I'm going to go back to John G. Lake. Okay, so he's got his hand out, and he puts that virus in his hand. Now, he could have said, I'm going to stay away from that.
Yeah.
But he did what you said. His faith was stronger than any fear. There was had to be absolutely no fear in him to be able to say, now put that in my hand, knowing full well what it had done. He was surrounded by death, knowing what he did.
Yeah.
The faith of that, to be able to say that and know that thing's going to be dead when it comes out.
You know, Dr. Lake said this. He said, the anointing. Here's the president.
Oh, okay. We're getting ready to go to the president as soon as he's talking.
Get your anointing oil ready because when we come back.
Yeah.
There it is.
I want to speak with you about our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak that started in China and is now spreading throughout the world. Today, the World Health Organization officially announced that this is a global pandemic. We have been in frequent contact with our allies, and we are marshaling the full power of the federal government and the private sector to protect the American people. This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history. I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures, we will significantly reduce the threat to our citizens, and we will ultimately and expeditiously defeat this virus. From the beginning of time, nations and people have faced unforeseen challenges, including large-scale and very dangerous health threats. This is the way it always was and always will be. It only matters how you respond, and we are responding with great speed and professionalism. Our team is the best anywhere in the world. At the very start of the outbreak, we instituted sweeping travel restrictions on China and put in place the first federally mandated quarantine in over 50 years. We declared a public health emergency and issued the highest level of travel warning on other countries as the virus spread its horrible infection. And taking early, intense action, we have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe. After consulting with our top government health professionals, I have decided to take several strong but necessary actions to protect the health and well-being of all Americans. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight. These restrictions will be adjusted subject to conditions on the ground. There will be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and these prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval. Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom. At the same time, we are monitoring the situation in China and the South Korea. And as their situation improves, we will reevaluate the restrictions and warnings that are currently in place for a possible early opening. Earlier this week, I met with the leaders of health insurance industry. who have agreed to waive all co-payments for coronavirus treatments, extend insurance coverage to these treatments, and to prevent surprise medical billing. We are cutting massive amounts of red tape to make antiviral therapies available in record time. These treatments will significantly reduce the impact and reach of the virus. Additionally, last week I signed into law an $8.3 billion funding bill to help CDC and other government agencies fight the virus and support vaccines, treatments, and distribution of medical supplies. Testing and testing capabilities are expanding rapidly day by day. We are moving very quickly. The vast majority of Americans, the risk is very, very low. Young and healthy people can expect to recover fully and quickly if they should get the virus. The highest risk is for elderly population with underlying health conditions. The elderly population must be very, very careful. In particular, we are strongly advising that nursing homes for the elderly suspend all medically unnecessary visits. In general, older Americans should also avoid non-essential travel in crowded areas. My administration is coordinating directly with communities with largest outbreaks, and we have issued guidance on school closures, social distancing, and reducing large gatherings. Smart action today will prevent the spread of the virus tomorrow. Every community faces different risks, and it is critical for you to follow the guidelines of your local officials, who are working closely with our federal health experts, and they are the best. For all Americans, it is essential that everyone take extra precautions and practice good hygiene. Each of us has a role to play in defeating this virus. Wash your hands, clean often used surfaces, cover your face and mouth if you sneeze or cough, and most of all, if you are sick or not feeling well, stay home. To ensure that working Americans impacted by the virus can stay home without fear of financial hardship, I will soon be taking emergency action, which is unprecedented, to provide financial relief. This will be targeted for workers who are ill, quarantined, or caring for others due to coronavirus. I will be asking Congress to take legislative action to extend this relief. Because of the economic policies that we have put into place over the last 3 years, we have the greatest economy anywhere in the world by far. Our banks and financial institutions are fully capitalized and incredibly strong. Our unemployment is at a historic low. This vast economic prosperity gives us flexibility, reserves, and resources to handle any threat that comes our way. This is not a financial crisis. This is just a temporary moment of time that we will overcome together as a nation and as a world. However, to provide extra support for American workers, families, and businesses, tonight I am announcing the following additional actions. I am instructing the Small Business Administration to exercise available authority to provide capital and liquidity to firms affected by the coronavirus. Effective immediately, the SBA will begin providing economic loans in affected states and territories. These low-interest loans will help small businesses overcome temporary economic disruptions caused by the virus. To this end, I am asking Congress to increase funding for this program by an additional $50 billion. Using emergency authority, I will be instructing the Treasury Department to defer tax payments without interest or penalties for certain individuals and businesses negatively impacted. This action will provide more than $200 billion of additional liquidity to the economy. Finally, I am calling on Congress to provide Americans with immediate payroll tax relief. Hopefully, they will consider this very strongly. We are at a critical time in the fight against the virus. We made a life-saving move with early action on China. Now we must take the same action with Europe. We will not delay. I will never hesitate to take any necessary steps to protect the lives, health, and safety of the American people. I will always put the well-being of America first. If we are vigilant and we can reduce the chance of infection, which we will significantly impede the transmission of the virus. The virus will not have a chance against us. No nation is more prepared or more resilient than the United States. We have the best economy, the most advanced health care, and the most talented doctors, scientists, and researchers anywhere in the world. We are all in this together. We must put politics aside, stop the partisanship, and unify together as one nation and one family. As history has proven time and time again, Americans always rise to the challenge and overcome adversity. Our future remains brighter than anyone can imagine. Acting with compassion and love, we will heal the sick, care for those in need, help our fellow citizens, and emerge from this challenge stronger and more unified than ever before. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. There's some phrases in there. He said, acting in love, we will heal the sick.
He said it.
He says, the virus will not have a chance.
He said it.
He said it. We agree with it, too.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
He started talking, Brother Copeland, about practicing good hygiene. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 11th century, the plague was going around. The Jewish people weren't affected. And the reason why is they were doing this word.
Yes.
Baruch atah Adonai Melechenu Olam. They were praying, washing their hands, and they were surviving. They were living. And great persecution came on them about it from, you know, the Gentiles around them. Why are you guys getting sick? Well, they're just doing what the word said.
And the food laws.
Yes, sir.
Those food laws, if you look at those and analyze them, there's not anything in there that'll destroy your immune system.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Now, the other junk will,
yeah,
or at least, you know, aid the will. But all of that was based on living 120 years.
Yes.
And because that was in the very first of the Bible. So he said, in order to live that long, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to stay clean. You're going to have to stay away from food that compromises you. And you follow this, you won't get sick in the first place.
Amen.
You just don't. James. Fifth chapter of this marvelous book. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Is any sick among you?
Verse 13. Verse 14, yeah.
Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm going to say something right here, and I want you to listen to me carefully. And the prayer of faith. Well, what's that? Faith in that name. Mm-hmm. Faith in the name.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in the name.
Yes.
The miracles done in the name of your holy child, Jesus, right there in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Faith in that name.
Son of David, have mercy on me.
Oh, yes.
Glory to God.
Faith in that name. The prayer of calling things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Shall, it will save the sick.
That's not a maybe, is it?
No, it's not a maybe. It's a yes. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they're forgiven him.
Glory to God.
Wow. Don't let sin get in the way. Well, I'm probably sick because of sin. Well, probably are. Well, you know you're sick because of sin somewhere. It's Adam's sick. That's sin. That's the reason you're sick. But, hey, don't let that get in your way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a whole lot more interested in you being healed than he is in your
sin. That's right. He's got a prescription for that.
Yes, we do. Now then, gentlemen.
That's what churches all across America ought to do Sunday morning right here.
Can you get a shot of that little scar on my hand? Can you see that?
There. You're zooming in.
Right there.
All right, see that right there? There was a little small white spot about the size of a grain of rice. It looked like a grain of rice on my hand. I didn't pay any attention to it. The thing was on there for several years.
Hmm.
I was watching one of our broadcasts that we did at our prayer cabin in Arkansas, and I saw the thing on there, and I called Carlene. I said, how old is that broadcast? She said, well, that broadcast 3 years old. Then I could see it. It's just white, shiny. You see it. Wasn't just about the size of a grain of rice. I didn't pay attention to it. And I don't even remember why, but I scratched it.
Mm.
And then it kind of popped up there and got kind of tender. And I told Dr. Weider, David Weider, I said, let's go have this thing looked at. So we did. And the dermatologist that we went to, Clayton Williams is his name. And it just so happened that his grandmother and granddaddy, if I remember right, had been partners with his ministry. Wow. Anyway, we were right at home with him.
Yeah.
So he biopsied it. Yeah, that's good, you know. He did a biopsy on the thing, and it was malignant, a little skin cancer.
Mm.
Well, he sent me over to another doctor, and his specialty, they open that up a little bit and take a very thin slice of that flesh, and they check it. They said, now you be prepared to stay at least 4 hours, because he's going to take a picture of that. And if there's any cancer cells left in there, he's going to take another little slice until they don't find any, and then he'll sew it up. Well, what do you do? You call the family. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And John, Kelly, Gloria, and Gloria's our very special friend, Bebe. And John and Kelly were on the phone, and Pastor George and Terry came over, and so I'm just sitting there at the kitchen table, the kitchen bar there, and it's just that little round spot, and it's kind of puffed, and it's, you know, kind of tender. He took that oil bottle, and when he touched it with his finger, I went, ha, 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 and it just laughed, just jumped out of my mouth. I said, well, glory to God.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I just hollered out loud, and everybody in the room started laughing. I knew I had victory.
Yeah.
So I go back over, I go over there then to Dr. Stillman, and he's, you know, I'm all prepared to stay the whole 4 hours. He's going to scrape and scrape and scrape and scrape. He did one little deal, and he came back in there, and he said, well, there's not any left in there. So what did he do, man? He cleaned it up, sewed it up. That's all that's left of.
Yeah, praise God.
Now, isn't that something? The minute that oil touched that.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it shot through me like, kind of like electrical shock. And I just laughed out loud all of a sudden. I had the victory right then.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Prayer of faith. Anointing with oil.
Prayer,
save the sick.
Faith. He went through all those scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Get yourself ready.
As an elder of the church, in the name that's above every name that's named.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeshua.
Yeah.
Mashiach. The Messiah. Yes. The living God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, amen.
Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that healeth thee in the flesh.
Yes.
And where two or three are gathered in his name, he's right here.
Amen.
This oil of gladness. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, there's no healing in the oil. It's a point of contact.
Yeah. There it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the point of contact.
Yes, sir.
And the moment that oil touches your skin, bust. God, I'm healed and invincible to viruses.
That's right.
In the name
of Jesus.
Yeah. Of Jesus.
Above every name.
By that authority invested in me, by the Most High God, as an elder in the church,
amen.
A prophet of God, I take this divine moment to anoint you.
Oh, glory to God.
In that name.
I receive it.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit of the living God.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of
Nazareth.
Gene Bailey.
Yes, Lord.
I anoint you.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord.
In that marvelous name.
Jesus' name.
Healed. Well,
yes,
and the blessing wall of God is up around us,
amen.
Blocking out viruses and demons of sickness and disease. Every one of those little viruses are just little demons in
us.
But we've been given authority and dominion over everything that swims, flies, crawls, and creeps. Those little creeps, that's what that's representing.
Yeah.
The little invisible demons.
Yeah.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Step on out here, Tim. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And for your Father Spence.
Come on, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Receive it. And know it.
Hallelujah.
Understand. In the name of Jesus, Son of the Most High God, Son of El Shaddai, the All Sufficient One.
Woo! Yeah. There it is.
El Shaddai in the flesh.
Yeah.
In His name.
That's right.
What was it Peter said? Don't look at us as though by our holiness this man was made strong. It is the name. It is faith in that name.
They tried to get him to quit using
it. Yeah. That, they were against it. They didn't care what they did if they didn't say anything about the name anymore.
It's in the name.
Amen.
Glory to
Glory to God. Who's next?
Get the crew out. Get the production crew out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring them
Is there
out.
A human back there? Get it out here.
That's right.
Glory to God. Eagle Mountain Church.
Oh, in the name.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Oh, glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus.
Get behind him. Get behind
him. In the name.
Oh, come on out.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Lord.
Glory be to God. In the name. Hallelujah. The oil.
Yes.
Of gladness,
I receive it. Yes.
Heart filled with joyful and in gladness of the abundance of
Thank
all
you, Lord.
Things.
Thank you, Lord.
The healer himself
Thank you, Lord.
Has made
Thank
you whole Lord. And keeping you whole.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Thank you Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Where's my camera?
Right here.
Somebody has just received for your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart right now.
That's
Glory
right.
to Take it.
Yeah.
It belongs to you, darling. If I was there, I'd be anointing your head with oil right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd rejoicing with faith in that name.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus. Stomach problems, stomach ulcers, all kinds of sickness and disease.
Yes.
Every sickness and every disease not even written in the book of the law is under the curse.
That's God's right.
Oh, hallelujah. You have a healing yes. covenant with the Almighty God Himself.
Yes.
In the name. In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, the victory's here.
Victory is here.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, for Ralph.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
The victory's here.
Yes.
And His name is Jesus. You know, it's all about Him.
It is.
It is.
You know, with Him, it's all about us.
Oh, praise God. It's all about
Him. But it's all about Him.
It's all about
Him. It's all about Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Josh,
in the name.
The name.
Yes.
In the sweet name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the name. Wait just a second. In that sweet name.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Receive your healing and be made whole.
Yes.
Absolutely. Look at me. Absolutely immune from any
That's
kind
it.
Of
Amen. Amen. We agree with
virus.
You. That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't no flu bug big enough.
That's right.
To take over the
That's right.
blood of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Come on now, Ron.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In the name.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank yes, you, Lord.
Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank
yeah.
you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lungs. Somebody was just, take a deep breath.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Now, this virus that they're talking about, coronavirus, what is it, 19, is that?
Yeah, COVID-19.
COVID-19.
It is an upper respiratory thing.
Right.
But I have in my spirit that I'm talking to somebody that's been suffering with asthma for a long, long
that's
time.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're healed. You're healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just picked up the name Veronica. Mm. You're healed, Veronica, of asthma. And not just Veronica, anybody
that's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise
and I see a brand new pink set of lungs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Father.
Ooh, that's good, isn't it?
Amen.
A whole bag full of air.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Anybody else?
Amen.
John, come on out.
Thank you, Lord.
Thing right here. A knot right there, Brother Copeland.
Oh, thank yeah. you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You disappear.
That's right. In
you
Jesus.
Disappear in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
By the authority of God's Word and according to His Word. I
curse it.
Curse that
That's
thing.
That's right.
And you get off my brother's body.
In Jesus' name.
Right now, take your hands off of it.
That's right. That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
I felt that from here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.
Yes, Lord.
Glory be to God.
Yes.
Now, I haven't done this in a long time. You're right there where you can. I saw my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, do this many, many years ago. And I've done it in the past. Had some marvelous, marvelous testimonies. If I was there, you know what I would do. Just what I've been doing here. And in the name of Jesus, put your hand on that television set.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He receive your healing.
Yes.
Now, say it, I take it.
I take it.
I have it.
I have it.
It's mine.
It's mine.
I thank you and praise you for it.
Yes, Lord.
And I forgive if I have aught against any.
I forgive.
And I praise you that I'm well and whole.
I praise you that I'm well and whole.
Yes. According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
I'm healed.
Yes.
And I consider not my own body.
Yes.
I
consider
yes.
not my own body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
But only that which God has promised.
Only that which God has promised.
Only that what the word has said.
Only that what the word
And by his stripes I was healed. And by his stripes I am healed now. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed and the devil's trying to give me the flu.
That's right.
Or whatever else kind of thing he's trying.
Yeah.
Healed and well.
Yes.
In the sweet name,
name of,
Jesus.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All glory, glory to, God. To God.
Amen. Amen.
Glory be to Jesus. Glory to God. I had to learn to do that. I consider not my own body now, 83 years old.
Yes, sir.
But only that which God promised. He promised me 120 years.
Yeah.
The Lord dealt with me about that over several years. I first began to, well, I was in healing school. With Gloria back behind the curtain when she's teaching healing. And she brought it up from the footnotes on the 90th Psalm in the Classic Amplified talks about it and explains it. The 70-80 never was God's plan. That was because of a disobedient people that kept saying, we're going to die out here in this desert. Well, I won't go into all that, but and finally, after several years went by, and different experiences, I won't go into all that, but finally, where I'm having this discussion with him about it, he didn't command me to do it. He asked me to do it. And, of course, anything he asks me to do is a command, because I am his to command.
That's right.
And I said, why? He said, it's because of the anointing. And he began from the time I entered the ministry in Tulsa at Oral Roberts University. I was 30 years old. He said, were you as anointed at 30 when Oral Roberts first laid his hands on you as you were 10 years later when you were 40? I said, no. I said, I had turned 40 6 months before, a little, right at six and a half months, when Brother Hagin called me out and separated me to the prophet's office. And there was a gigantic increase in the anointing. He took me up. Were you as anointed at 40 as you were in 50? At 50? No. It took 10 years. He got up to 80, and he said, now, I have anointings from 80 to 90. Though I don't have much of it in the earth. I have anointings from 90 to 100 that doesn't exist in the earth.
Wow.
Now, people living that long, but I'm talking about on purpose to preach the word of faith and still strong in the ministry, still going and still going after it. He said, I don't have them. They're not in the earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. Good people. Good people living a long time. But I'm talking about active ministry. as active as they were when they were 60. And he said, I need it. Now, he said that you go on up the time from 100 to 105, 110, 115. Mm-hmm. Will you do that for me? And I said, well, of course I will. I will do it. Hmm. Well, now, I can't do that, but by faith I can.
Yes.
Gene, Satan hit me with skin cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
He just unloaded on me. Ha, ha.
Yeah.
Kind of tickled me.
Yeah, that is good.
You know what he did? He proved to me that he's afraid of me.
Yeah, that's right.
He knows I'll do it. Now, the Lord didn't say anything about this. I just began to figure this out. I thought, now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute here. When I started doing... We were in healing school, and I didn't even know why I did it. It just come on, man. I just hit the floor and did, I don't know what it was, 20, 25 push-ups. And all of a sudden, it just went everywhere. I didn't do it for that reason.
Well.
The next time I was headed for 50, my shoes started slipping, and I only did 45. And it just started out all over the place. There was a man, Bill Winston was in a man's church in Africa, and this thing just got all over there. But somebody sent me a picture of it. Right. And he had up on the screen there in the church that picture of me doing push-ups there in healing school. And he turned around and he said, now, Brother Winston, can you do that? So Bill had to get in the floor. Of course, he was in good shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Bill had to hit the floor and start doing push-ups. Hey, it's already started.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the corresponding action to your faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've changed a lot of what you do to press into that.
Oh, yeah. Man, I had to hit that exercise room. I had to do something about my diet. I'm in training. The Lord said, He said, I want you to get your spirit in the best spiritual condition you can possibly be in. I want your mind, your will, and your emotions in the finest mental condition you can be in. And I want that body in the finest physical condition it can possibly be in. Mm-hmm. So I just had to go to work. Now, the bottom line is this. I never thought about this. But a 90-year-old guy, somebody's going to want to put a TV camera in there on that. Somebody's going to want to see that.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Christian people.
Yeah, that's right.
They want to see some 90-year-old man either break his arm trying to do push-ups or...
Or do it.
Or fall on his face or do it. Hey, what about when he's 100?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the only one. I'm getting letters. I'm getting people, hey, Brother Copeland, we're after it. We're going for it, too.
God.
Preachers, faith guys, some of them 60, some of them 70, 75, we're going for it, praise God. Well, that's what God was after right there. He wasn't after trying to make something out of me. He just...
Getting somebody to believe for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Get your faith on it.
So something happened Sunday here at EMIC when you got up there and you talked about, there was a word that came about the healing this year.
Yeah, with John.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you share with our audience what that was all about?
I don't know.
It pays to watch EMIC on Sunday.
Yeah. But,
well, they're watching us right now. In church.
Those things come out of my spirit. Lord, the dawning of a new day.
Yeah.
It's
Thank you, Lord. Mgreste, Lord. Limbrbe ispalona kantasa takana. Now, the sun of God, the dawning of a new day with healing in his wings.
That's it right there. That's it.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hot spots.
That's right.
EMIC is a hot spot.
Right.
And these hot spots around the nation, around the world, but particularly in the United States, hotspots of healings, hotspots. And that EMIC is one of them, where people are an awakening and people are going to start going to church 7 days a week because of signs and wonders.
Right.
It's the Toronto blessing. It's the Brownsville blessing. But it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blessing and the awakening of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what all this big fight and fuss is right now.
And that's what this morning on the phone with Hank Kuhneman, he said, this is why the devil's trying to do this, to get your attention off of what he's doing, what God's doing in this era, this new decade. And he calls it decade of difference. Moving into the new the enemy is trying to get your focus on this virus and sickness and panic and fear. Instead, what God's going to do, and he said in the spring, which is we're entering into, watch for it.
Wow.
And so here we are right now. And then you said you had that word Sunday. I was finished preaching in Virginia Beach and tuned in and saw that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. And I'm telling you, this is what you just did here tonight. We haven't done that.
No.
Letting the Lord, and this praise God for Victory Channel, that we're able to go out there and do that.
Now, I'm chuckling because I've got a newspaper article or an article today from this testimony on Capitol Hill, and they were talking about this disease and hot spots, that there's hot spots in America that where this disease is. But you prophesied hot spots
of healing.
There it is.
Before they came out with this, that's why I started chuckling. Because I heard that this morning, and I'd forgotten you said that.
Yeah, I need to go back and listen to that, because there's so much of it. It doesn't go through my memory. It comes right out of my spirit into my mouth.
Yeah, so not hot spots of disease, hot spots of healing.
Hot spots of healing, yeah.
This is one of them.
And that's why we can, and you said it earlier, and those of you watching on television, listen, and listening by radio, I got to remember, those of you listening by radio, if you want someone to agree with you in prayer, there's a number, 877-281-6297. The prayer lines, Brother Copeland, people are calling and calling and calling. Man. Not because they're scared, but because they want somebody to agree with them.
Yes, sir.
And that's what it's there for you. And of course, if you want Freedom from Fear, it's a free download. You can go to the
website.
And give
us a testimony about the...
I'm glad you said that.
The healing service?
Yeah.
The anointing with oil?
Yeah, that's right. When Brother Copeland prayed for you in that point of contact, I think it was Oral Roberts the first one that did that. Yes, he was the first one that did that point of contact on television.
Of contact is that moment that you
release
your
faith.
That where you say, okay, when he says... one of my granddaughters said, the first man I kiss is when I hear my papa say, I pronounce you man and wife. And she kept it.
Wow.
See, she made a decision.
Yeah.
She said, how many frogs do you have to kiss to get a prince? Mm. She wrote a little pamphlet.
That's right. About that.
It's that point of contact. She said, I'm not doing that until he says those words.
Yeah.
So the moment, like I said earlier, the moment that oil touches you, that's it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
James said it. That means the Holy Spirit said it through James. He said it, and I believe it. Amen.
Amen.
So the moment that oil touches me,
it's It's done.
I'm healed.
Yeah.
I'm stepping across the line of faith.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm stepping across that line and I'm never going back.
That's right.
I'm healed.
Praise God.
I don't care what the symptoms are.
Yeah.
I'm healed.
Yeah, yeah.
But at that moment, I heard Brother Hagin say, he would see two people that one of them got healed of cancer, the other one didn't. They standing side by side. Hmm. But he said, now the one that did, he said, the minute I laid hands on her, she shouted, "That's it." See, she's ready before he ever put his hand on her.
That's right.
Now it was reported to him, the other girl left and said, "Well, I didn't much think I was going to get anything." Now that's what the president said.
Yeah.
Depends on how we react to this.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
Praise God.
Amen. I like what you said earlier. And I believe you said it was Hilton Sutton. And people were sick and let's get to work. And yeah. You took the anointing off.
Yeah, it was Dad Sutton. It was Hilton's dad.
Oh, yeah. But pastors, this week, your church service, do your job.
Yeah, get to work. This is what we do.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
This
Other
is the
guys
household
get up
of faith.
And go do their job. Get your oil bottle, go do yours.
That's right.
Go to work. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and if you go to our church, tell your pastor to watch this. We will make it available for you online. Okay,
glory
so make sure you get this.
Glory.
And don't forget to, like Brother Copeland said, we want to hear your testimony. Tell the phone operator there what's happened. You believe? I believe, Brother Copeland, that there were instantaneous healings.
Oh, I do too.
I saw it this weekend. I saw it this weekend. I haven't seen it like that before. Instant healing. Instant. This is the day of acceleration.
Well, when he touched my hand with that oil, it was
That's
instantaneous.
It, right there.
It killed that cancer
yes.
cell.
Yes, amen.
Killed it.
Killed it.
It didn't heal it. It killed it.
Man. Because it has to. It has to submit.
And what do you say? Now, here's what I said to it. Cancer, you're a name.
Yeah.
This wasn't that. Now, I'd already said this. I said, "Cancer, you're a name. Now you bow your knee to the name of Jesus."
Yeah.
You cannot. Mm-hmm. You cannot live in my body.
All right.
I will not tolerate it. I have no fear of it. It never occurred to me to be afraid of it. Come on.
Yeah.
It's just another act of spirit being that's been brought to zero.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a zero.
That's right.
If you listen to him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because he'll start building fear in you and you become a sickness magnet.
Yeah.
But oh, dear Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria said, "If things were as bad as the devil says they are, he wouldn't have to lie."
That's good.
Yeah, okay.
That's a Gloria-ism.
That's a Gloria.
That's definitely a Gloria. Right there.
Yeah. And she said tonight, before I came over here, she said, "Kenneth, you tell them, don't let that disease get in your mouth."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let it get in your mouth. Don't start talking about that thing.
Yes. Amen.
Don't even discuss it with people. I don't even want to hear it. I've heard all about it on television. I want to hear. And I heard facts and figures. Nothing wrong with that. And don't be stupid. Take your directions and learn how to wash your hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I heard Dr. Oz say this, that you don't just wash this way. You take soap. And so every time I wash my hands now, just to put that on my mind, think about it, and wash the ends of my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
just to get in the habit of it.
Right, right.
Particularly if you leave the house. Mm-hmm. And you have to go into a public restroom or something.
Now, you're not doing that out of fear. You're doing that out of what the Word said.
No, the way the Word tells you to wash your hand, dumb. It's not your mama telling you that. Right. It's God telling you that. But these surgeons have learned how to do that. And so right now, we're dealing with a virus. So just get there at the house. Just practice that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that you'll remember to do it if you have to go to a public restroom or something, and you take the soap. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something else, too. If you're in a public restroom and all they have is old blowers, go on, get out of there and go directly someplace where you can wash your hands with soap and dry them with a paper towel. Buy you some paper towels that are sterile and dry your hands with. Mm-hmm. That blower won't get it. That's not good. At a time like this.
That's not a lack of faith. You're just being extra vigilant. Give no opportunity, give no cause to the enemy.
Craig.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for the audience.
You can kill it with Lysol.
Yeah.
You can kill it with Clorox.
Well, you had it on.
Yeah, it's there. It's there.
Yeah.
It'll kill it.
Yeah.
You don't have to have some exotic cleaner. Just do a good job of cleaning the house.
Some vitamin C.
They are giving people vitamin C intravenously.
Look at that.
Vitamin C is the only thing that doesn't occur naturally in your body. Your body won't produce it. You have to put it in there. And back there when they got so sick while I was in the Army, boy, I mean, they poured the orange juice down us. I mean, and of course it was, they went to the mess hall and started squeezing oranges and get that orange juice, gallons of it, to get that vitamin C in us. Mm-hmm. Aspirins and vitamin C. And it worked.
It worked.
Praise God. That's good.
Glory to God.
So, reminder what the president said right here. Risk is very low. Practice good hygiene. The virus will not have a chance against us, is what he said.
Isn't that good?
Acting in love will heal the sick. That is the president of the United States. And then the prophet has also spoken tonight. And we receive it.
Let's prove that. Okay. First John. I like that the president said it. I like it more that the Holy Spirit of God said it in the 5th chapter. Now remember, God is love.
Yes, sir.
And that's a commandment. Mm-hmm. Not a suggestion. It is our commandment. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, listen to this. We know that whosoever is born of love sinneth not. What's he saying there? You walk in love. You stay in that commandment. And the minute you step out of it, you get right back on that commandment. And you stop that sin. You get it. I mean, I'm not practicing sin.
Right.
No, sir. Because I'm walking in love. And keep that love commandment. And it's not based on anything but the Bible. It isn't based on how anybody treats me or doesn't treat me. It took a long time for me to learn that. Thank God for it. Now listen to this. But he that is begotten of love keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not, my brother and sister.
Wow.
There you have it.
That's it.
That wicked Vero Carnival virus cannot touch you and me.
Woo.
If he does, he dies.
Yes. Yes, sir. Just like that on your hand.
Yes, sir.
The minute it was touched.
The minute, yes, sir.
That was
sir.
The point of contact.
Killed it right then.
Yeah.
Just killed it.
Amen.
So when you prayed for people a while ago in the point of contact, you need to know that the healing power of God is at work in your body right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not stopping. Regardless of what you feel, it's there.
It's there.
Tomorrow morning, it's there.
That's right.
The next day, it's there.
Amen.
Glory
That's
to God.
That's good stuff. You, know, you can come back anytime.
Well, oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you can. We'll just let you come on back. You just
I
let us know. We'll see, if we, we'll see if we can work you in.
Oh, listen, it's been good.
It's been good. Well, thank you, sir. Listen, I want to tell everybody watching, we're going to replay this right after we go off the air in just in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. We're going to start this again. So if you miss something, you can go back and watch it and listen again. And we're going to play it right now. And then we're going to play it in the morning at 7 a.m. Central, at noon Central, and it's I believe it's 8 p.m. Central. Is that correct? I believe that's correct. So if you know somebody, tell them to watch Victory Channel tomorrow, and they're going to get their freedom from fear, and we're going to attack and stand against this coronavirus. You're going to hear the word again. You know, this is stuff you got to get it. You got to get it down in you, just like you were saying. We got to get it over and over and over because you're hearing it. You're hearing it so much the other way. The fear is you can't even turn on the radio or the TV or anything, much less the internet, and not get all that, oh, panic, panic, panic. This is what you don't have to do. So, Greg, what are we going to do?
We're going to get in the Word.
That's right.
We're going to refuse to fear.
That's right. We're going to refuse to fear. We've got a minute 40. Why don't you pray for us as we go off the air?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Father, we bless you. I thank you for this night, sir. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. I thank you that you died and paid the atonement. You became the curse, that there's no curse that will even come near my dwelling. Psalm 91.
Oh,
no
yes.
plague, yes, no sir. Curse, no calamity, no nothing. That your angels are watching over. So, Father, we bless every person that's been part of this, is watching this. We'll continue to watch this in the reruns. I command the healing power of God to rise up in you.
Jesus.
I curse the things that try to attach itself to this nation. We have a covenant with God, this nation.
Yes, it does.
We stand on it.
Yes, it does.
In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for our president.
Yes.
For Vice President Pence and the entire cabinet, the doctors that are working on this. I thank you for the covenant of Israel that's developing a vaccine for this. We give you praise and we give you glory that it's already done.
It is.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Because Jesus is Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. All right. So listen, we're about to go off the air in the next 30 seconds. Make sure you watch next Tuesday night. The America Stands team is going to be here. We're going to be covering the next primary as we go down the path to this election. And we're going to see what God does. Make sure you call that phone number. Let us know what healing happened in your life.
Yes,
we want to hear your testimonies of what happened. And continue to speak in faith because you have freedom from fear. And until then, remember this, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.